Thank you, Jim. It's 10 minutes away from 8 on Radio 1. I hold a book in my hand. It's called No Mountain Too High. The first chapter of Nev Levitt's book is called The End. It refers to the end of his daughter's life at the corner of Ledbury and Lawrence nearly 10 years ago. Ned's 18-year-old daughter, Stacy, died when she was struck by a car at the intersection. Although that was the end of Stacy's life, it was the beginning of an astonishing journey for Ned and his family. He has chronicled that journey and hopes that it will become a guide for other families suffering losses of this kind. Ned's in the studio with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Andy.
10 years distances you in some way from the events that we're describing. You were almost apologizing to me before we went on the air. The tears, which some people might expect you to shed today, have all been shed. You've moved into another place. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to take you back to that space 10 years ago. We don't have to describe the accident that took his life, but we have to somehow describe the chaos that descended on yours.
It's hard to describe. In fact, that's one reason I guess I wrote the book, is to try to convey to people what such a tragedy brings in your life. If I talk about the events, I talk about them as though they were somebody else's events. That's what time does to heal me. I don't have to relive and rewind that tape all the time. Certainly, it feels like it wasn't 10 years ago. It feels like it was 10 minutes ago. But that's the absence of Stacy. That's what I feel. You never stop dealing with it, but you deal with it at a different level after these many years. And you know, one of the many things, messages I guess I would like people to take from the book is, again, Andy, it's a book about life, not about death. But if you're going to be confronted in life with some dramatic hurt, pain, or loss, one of the ways to help yourself through it, and certainly for bereaved parents, is to make meaning from the loss. And that, of all the things that helped me, was with Stacy's incredible poetry, with her incredible spirit, and our amazing relationship. I mean, if you had written a script about the perfect relationship between a daughter and a father, that was our life. So how could that just disappear? How could that just be suddenly gone, like someone turned off a radio? So for me, the work I do, the help I give to others, the work that Stacy does even after her death that helps others, brings meaning when it's meaningless. And that's what helps me survive.
This interview is going to be most vividly remembered, I'm afraid, both by people who've suffered losses like yours and people who are about to. Mm-hmm. Someone listening to us is going to one day get the knock on the door you did. There's going to be a police officer standing outside asking them to go to the hospital and identify their child's body.
Yep.
And they're going to remember how centered you are now, but they need to be prepared for what you were afterwards. And you very nearly lost your mind. You very nearly took your life. You talk about calling your brother 6 times a day to see to it he could help you stay afloat. So try to describe from this distance what you were then.
Well, interestingly enough, nature has a wonderful way of protecting you. You go into a state of shock. So, and in fact, anyone who's an athlete, anyone who's been in a car accident can describe terrific injury, but not feeling the injury because the body goes into shock. No different here. The damage inflicted to your emotion and to your mind is like being in a car accident. So actually, in the first stages, you have no concept of what's just happened. You know cognitively that you're being told words, but you don't absorb it into your motion, into your soul, and at that moment. So interestingly enough, you walk through it like a robot doing robotic things. You know, I had to identify her body. I had to make her funeral arrangements. I knew those things had to happen. I was the father in the family, so I had to keep my emotions in check because things had to progress.
And occasionally intruded upon by people who, meaning well, say the wrong things. I mentioned earlier this interview will be remembered by someone who one day will suffer this kind of loss, but many more people will know someone and will wonder what they should and should not say or do. You, for instance, talk about people who said, well, you have 2 other wonderful daughters, as if that was supposed to be a comfort.
Yeah. The first reaction to that statement might be, I'm offended, My daughters are not interchangeable parts. They're all unique in my life. And I'd like the person who made that statement to understand that. But let's be fair here. We live in a death-denying culture. We want to run from it. It's difficult. Our tongues get tied when we're in these situations. Mm-hmm. Why would I blame that person who said the wrong thing, but in their intentions and their motivations were so great, okay, that they wanted to help me? So I, after a while, those types of misstatements meant nothing to me. I rather embrace what they intended to do. And in fact, I don't think there's a right and wrong thing. The wrong thing would be to isolate them. To say nothing. Right. Well, I mean, you can say nothing in their presence and just hold them and right. be with them. But I mean, the nothing in the isolating nothing where you don't even make any effort at all, that's much more damaging.
Professor Stephen Fleming of York University, a psychologist, spoke of, and you described this beautifully in the book, the climb you completed on Stacy's behalf at Mount Ixta in Mexico. And he says, on the journey, you befriended your pain and reclaimed your life. So finally, decode that for me. What does it mean to befriend one's pain?
How I have survived is that instead of running away from the fire, you've got to run into the fire. You've got to diminish the pain by feeling the pain. Mm-hmm. So in that very real way, you befriend your pain. I found that it hurt a lot more when I was afraid, when as the wave of grief, nausea, and pain was going to wash over me, and I would try to do something to take it away, to run from it, to anesthetize myself. But when I finally turned around and started to head into it, it wasn't so frightening. It wasn't so painful. I dominated it. Mm. And that's how I reclaimed my life.
The things that don't destroy us make us strong, but
good
this
point.
Grief has the capacity to destroy.
Yep.
Yeah. It did not destroy you, and that story of how you and your family saved yourselves is told in No Mountain Too High, written for Stacy, Ned Levitt's daughter, and for all of you who might one day take this journey yourself. Thank you, Ned.
Thank you, Andy.
And if you'd like more information about Ned's book, you can go to his website, iamarose.com. Jim.